we were talking about the electric car, the Fisker, and Bill from Alpha Team has texted in some good news, Damien.
Yeah, surprising but great news that he's saying that Alpha Team have the GCC rights for the Fisker brand, and they'll be seen here hopefully around September, October. So be great to see it on the road. I mean, it is a stunning looking car. It's been in development for quite a long time, and we've seen it at motor shows as prototypes for several years, but finally to see it on the road, and when you actually see the thing for real, it's without a doubt one of the best looking cars I've seen. And it's a four-door car, it's a family car, yeah.
And it looks good. What's the advantages of electric cars? I mean, I know there's obvious reasons, but there are quite a lot of disadvantages as well, perhaps more so where we are now.
Actually, to be honest, I think there's probably quite a few advantages for having an electric car in Dubai particularly, because you think of the amount of mileage we do in a car each day. It's invariably 30 to 60 kilometres, and unless you're in your car as part of your profession, you're a sales rep, or you're a taxi driver or a courier or whatever, if you're just driving to work and back, Dubai is still a relatively small, centrally located city.
Mm.
We're not spread out miles into the suburbs. We don't have connecting freeways between suburbs. So you could drive your car from home to the office. It sits there all day. It charges up. It comes out. You drive it back home. It charges up when you get home. And you think about the amount of miles you do, that's invariably what you're going to do 5 days a week. Maybe even less on the weekends, maybe a bit more, but then you can have another little car for the weekends if you need to. So I think an electric vehicle would work well in this region. I mean, you're going to do 90% of your driving on either the Emirates Road, the Sheikh Zayed Road, the Alcala Road, and little connecting roads in between.
Mm.
So, and a car like the Fisker would work. I mean, we have no idea, obviously, what the pricing is going to be like, because we just found out they're coming in, but it is a premium car. And very comfortable car. It's a four-seater car, but the advantage is obviously is that you can charge it up at home. Now, it's not the huge advantage compared to other parts in the world because of the price of petrol here. You don't get that massive cost saving, but you do get the convenience factor of the fact that we seem to have a lot of queues at petrol stations here.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
Because of the rule in Dubai, anyway. It's not in Abu Dhabi, but the rule where you have to pull up at the back. You can't drag the fuel nozzle to the other side of the car.
Which is why I have a BMW.
Yes, yeah. So that inevitably leads to longer queues. And we're also seeing fuel shortage issues in Sharjah. So just as a convenience point of...
Really?
Yeah, well, I won't name the petrol station because I can't guarantee which one it is, but it's one of the... one of the...
It's a 50-50 chance.
Yes, it's one of those. There was some dispute going on, and they stopped supplying petrol to their Sharjah outlets. So that has been an issue on and off for the last year or so. So just as a convenience point of view, the fact that you can refuel your car, in effect, at home or in the office.
So how long does the car run for when you charge it fully, roughly? How many kilometres would you get out of it? And is it expensive, the actual amount of power that it takes to charge it?
It shouldn't be, no. I mean, it's certainly cheaper than the cost of fossil fuels in Europe and other places where most of us have come from. Probably comparable to the price of petrol here, I'm guessing. But then just go straight onto your diesel bill. So
what's the guarantee of that working out?
So that's where it will go. Each electric car is different. I'm not quite sure what the range of the Fisker is, for instance, but you should be able to get, say, 200 to 300 kilometres range out of the car at a relatively normal cruising speed. If, of course, you put your foot down, you accelerate hard, then the range dramatically decreases. The Fisker is a performance car. It has performance abilities as good as a good sports car. We're talking 5 seconds to 100 kilometres an hour, thereabouts, for this car. Yeah. I don't know the exact figure, but it is around about that kind of figure, which means your range is going to dramatically reduce. But it's enough to get you to the office and back at least. If you're careful with it, you might be able to get 3-4 days of running around town.
I can see one of the downfalls being for those people who live in apartment blocks. I mean, I can't even find a socket in my basement. My bike battery needs charging. And, I'd love to just plug it in there and then, but I'm going to have to get my fingers dirty and get the.
Yeah, well, see, that would be one of the issues. So many of us live in apartments here, and not every car space obviously has a charging point next to it. So yeah, that would be a major issue. I'm guessing their target audience would be those in
Yeah,
villas.
maybe. You might be right. You might be right. Listen, we've had a message through from Philby who says, what was Spinner and ACM's favourite car at Goodwood?
Wow, that's so hard to answer.
Oh,
I mean,
so easy.
really?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Okay. Did you see the collection of small replica classic cars that were presented to the Queen and her children?
No, I didn't.
Ah,
No.
there's an absolute identical replica of James Bond's Aston Martin with all the tricks that went with it, the bulletproof screen,
Wow.
the spinning front plate, the guns that came out the front. And it's actually an electric car, absolutely spot on. In fact, have a look at the pictures on my Facebook page. It was beautiful, and it was actually given to the Queen and presented to Prince Andrew
Wow.
as a child, as like a 6-year-old child. That was my favourite car.
Wow. I think, I don't know, I mean, stunning car. It'd be a choice between, I saw the Ferrari 250 GTO that's owned by Nick Mason.
Is that who?
Yeah,
I
it was
was wondering
one
whose
of
it
Nick's
was.
cars.
Yeah.
And it was driven by Marino Franchitti up the hill.
I saw Marino.
That was amazing to see. And this car recently, or a version of, they only made 38 of them ever. And a recent version, it was a car that was built for Stirling Moss to race, but for what reason, I'm not quite sure. He never got to race the car, but it was built in green for him because of the British colours. So a very rare one anyway, but it's just recently sold for over $30 million US dollars. So to see this
Whoa.
car on the track,
Just say that again. Million.
30,
30
yes,
million.
yeah, $35 million I think it was.
Wow.
So to see this car on the track, and Marino Franchitti giving it everything up the hill, that's something that I'll never forget. Favorite cars, the Rothmans Porsche 917 that won Le Mans in 1985. I think that would have to be. It's such a famous car, such an iconic car. The 917 Porsche has just dominated Le Mans since it was launched in the early 1970s for nearly 20 years.
I think
That was stunning.
there was too many. That's why I've gone with the toy car, because there was
Yeah.
too many absolute classics in
Yeah.
there, and even modern classics as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. The old silk cut XJ220 Le Mans
Yeah.
winners are phenomenal. But I mean, I don't know if you had a look around the kind of classic Ferrari racing paddock, but that was
See,
just
that's the thing. I
something
didn't
else.
get much of a chance to look around because I was in the other lucky situation where I was helmeted up and in the seat to go for a run up the hill, and that definitely goes down as one of those things that you tick off the list as you always want to do. And I was lucky to go up in the new Porsche 991 Carrera S, and
I saw you waving to the crowds.
I was waving to the crowds. We're doing our stuff, you know. But I was a passenger. I wasn't driving. I was sitting next to the chief instructor from the Porsche Centre at Silverstone, who's knows everyone. I mean, he got the top of the hill and got out, and Mark Webber saw him, came over and slapped him on the back. How are you? And all sort of things. So, as I say, a great atmosphere.
Did you get a chance to speak to Weber?
Yeah, had a quick chat, and that was a week before his win in Silverstone at the Grand Prix, so that was
Which you
good,
missed.
which I missed because I was in meetings.
Yeah, me too. I was watching airplanes instead of cars, but
Yeah.
it's just one of those things. Anything with an engine, me.